Another bad dream. Have you ever had those? This lady has had this for something that happened to her 30 years ago. It's in regards to a horrible monster who's done her wrong when she was a child. And although it's been 30 years, every time she dreams about him, she wakes up and the fear, the resentment, the anger, everything comes back up. And she wakes up, and that day, that week just goes down the hill. She doesn't understand why. You know, she just doesn't hate the man. She just wants him out of her memory, erased. Doesn't want him anymore doing so much harm. It's like he has her prisoner. And what makes matters worse is that she says, you know, she just thinks, he hasn't even repented for what he's done to me. And I'm sure he doesn't lose one ounce of sleep for what he's done. And yet I can't, 30 years later. Why should she forgive him anyway? He was never sorry for what he's done. She was the victim. She was a child when it was done to her. Why is she the one that can't sleep? And by the way, who cares if she forgives him or not? What's the point? It's not like he's going to be in heaven, right? After all he's done. Join me in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, open our hearts and help us to see what it is to be free. Free from anger, resentment, and pain. And sometimes the only way we can receive this freedom is by forgiving those that hurt the most. Help us, O Lord, as we study your word to see how you want us to treat those that hurt us. In Jesus' name, amen. So would God ask somebody, would ask this young lady to forgive? Now, please keep in mind, I'm not talking about justice here. I'm not talking that if someone does something that's a crime, they should go through the court process. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what should we do when somebody does that to us? What is our job? And it's not easy. I'm not going to say it's easy. But the Lord does give us a way. So, I'm going to ask you to please join me in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. And I have borrowed my husband's Bible because although I have my iPad, I'm finding that the Bible sometimes is easier to carry around than my iPad. We're going to start on verses 21. You know, I just love Peter, and those of you who know me and have heard me before, he is one of my favorite Bible characters. He's always asking questions, and he's always there. And I'm not sure what prompted Peter to think about this question, but his thought was about forgiving, I mean, about someone hurting. I mean, the Lord was talking earlier about being steward and what we should do when somebody does a sin, and this is actually how the church is supposed to treat those, you know, going to the one person and trying to get them out of sin. If that doesn't work, take two people and so forth. But somehow Peter came up asking this question in verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Now, I like how Jesus responded, right? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, I want to ask a question here. How many of you have a little book somewhere where you have written, okay, Johnny hurt me in 1970, June 1st. he said a bad word. And Johnny is your little brother, maybe. And then a year later, he did something else. And you just keep writing and writing, and you put one, two, three, until you get to 490, and then you say, okay, the next one I don't have to forgive. How many of you have that book? Okay. I know that I've been guilty of having a good memory, of not forgetting certain things. But I can guarantee you, even with my good memory, I can't remember everything that's ever been done to me by any one particular person. And I ask the Lord to help me even forget those that I remember. But can you imagine? Is that what Jesus is telling here? Okay, don't forget 7 times. We'll just multiply it 70 times and then you're done. Can you imagine if Jesus had a book like that for us? I think I have passed that 490 many, many, many years ago. 42, probably 40 years ago. Tantrums, you guys remember those? I'm pretty sure I had my share. My parents can't say it anymore since they're not with us, but that's okay. We don't need to remember. So, none of us have that book, do we? But I like how Jesus then just goes on and gives a story. I love how Jesus talks. He gives you an answer. He gave an answer to Peter, but then he gave an illustration, a story, so that Peter can remember it a little better. So let's read. So what is this illustration? Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And verse 24, then when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, and all that he had in the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Let me just stop here. That debt of 10,000 talent was very, very big. So big that not only selling him would have paid that debt, but he had to sell his wife and his children. It doesn't say how many children here. But let's say Nelson is the servant. That's a lot of money if you have to take two children plus the wife and him to sell to pay the debt. How many of you owe that kind of money? How many of you have a mortgage? Student loan. A car. More debts, you never know. And that, make it through the mortgage, because I know that's one of our highest house debts that we may have. And the bank says to you one day, you know, you just lost your job, your kids are sick, we understand your situation. Someone came and paid your full debt. You own your house, here's the deed, good luck with your life. How would you feel about that? Amen, right? This is what happened to this guy. So in this case, not only is no one paid, but it wasn't even paid. The one that was owed said, it's okay. You owe me. Hey, I forgive it. Your book is now back to zero. Now that man left very happy, didn't he? Let's continue reading to see what happened here. So we continue on. On verse 27, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, right? And released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told his master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And then Jesus ends that story saying, so my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let me read that again. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you from his heart do not forgive his brother his trespasses. So this first servant, we're going to put it in illustration, owed this bank guy the mortgage, the house, the car, the student loan. That's a big debt. And his fellow servant probably owed him, I don't know, lunch money. And he had just been forgiven. We said we would have left that place happy, right? He left happy. But that happiness stopped as soon as he saw that one person that owed him so little compared to what was just forgiven to him. And instead of him praising and saying, you know what? I was just forgiven this amount of large money. I know you just owe me that lunch money. You know what? Forget it. It's okay. Let's put it aside. He did the opposite. He went after that servant and put him in prison. Now, I want to say that it's easy to forgive maybe lunch money. Maybe it's easy to forgive someone hurting us, saying a word that sometimes is mistaken or misunderstood, misinterpreted. But what about those that have hurt us even deeper? What about that young lady whose innocence was taken away by this monster? How is she to treat? Does this apply to her? Does it apply to you? You know, I once heard a story. I'm going to read it to you because it talks about sometimes when we say things and we argue. And I've heard this in church for a long time where some church members won't talk to other church members because they're angry at them. And if you're new to the church and you somehow end up being in the middle of it because you're here, and sometimes it doesn't even make sense. You're like, are these two for real? They are not talking because of this? Well, I like this story. I'm going to share this with you. Once upon a time, two brothers who lived on adjoining farms fell into a conflict. It was the first of serious rift in 40 years of farming side by side, sharing machinery and trading labor and goods as needed without a hitch. Then the long collaboration fell apart. It began with a small misunderstanding and then grew into a major difference. And finally it exploded into an exchange of bitter words followed by weeks of silence. One morning there was a knock on John's door. He opened to find a man with a carpenter's toolbox. I'm looking for a few days' work, he said. Perhaps you would have a few small jobs here and there. Could I help you? Yes, said the older brother. I have a job for you. Look across the creek at that farm. That's my neighbor. In fact, it's my younger brother. Last week there was a meadow between us, and he took his bulldozer to the river levee, and now there is a creek between us. Well, he may have done this to spite me, but I'll go over him one better. See that pile of lumber curing by the barn? I want you to build me a fence, an 8-foot fence, so I won't need to see his place anymore. Cool him down anyhow. The carpenter said, I think I understand the situation. Show me the nails and the post hole digger, and I will be able to do a job that pleases you. The older brother had to go to town for supplies, so he helped the carpenter get the materials ready, and then he went off for the day. The carpenter worked hard all that day, measuring, sewing, nailing. About sunset, when the farmer returned, the carpenter had just finished his job. The farmer's eyes opened wide, his jaw dropped. There was no fence there at all. It was a bridge stretching from one side of the creek to the other. A fine piece of wood, work handrails and all. and the neighbor, his younger brother, was coming across, his hand outstretched. "You're quite a fellow to build this bridge after all I've done and said." The two brothers stood at each end of the bridge, and then they met in the middle. Taking each other's hand, they turned to see the carpenter hoist his toolbox on his shoulder. "No, wait, stay a few days. I've had a lot of other projects for you," said the older brother. "I'd love to stay," said the carpenter, "but I have many more bridges to build." And I love what Ellen White wrote in Gospel Workers, page 92. "Some of you seem to be earnestly seeking for forgiveness of sin, for freedom in God. Do you deserve the pardon that you are seeking? No, you do not. Nevertheless, God is willing to grant it freely. And dare you withhold your brethren the forgiveness and affection of which you do not think they are worthy? Would you have God deal thus with you? Deal with your brethren as you wish God to deal with you. If we expect our prayers for forgiveness to be heard, we must offer them in a forgiving spirit. We must forgive others in the same manner and to that same extent that we ourselves hope to be forgiven. The hard-heartedness that professed Christians manifest toward one another is not Christ-like, but savors of the satanic. We must, every one of us, open our hearts wide to the love of Jesus and encourage pity and affection for our brethren. Now, I have to say this. When I became a Christian, when I was 12 years old, I wanted to do what was right. Don't all of you, that first love, I don't know how you felt, but you just wanted to read that Bible and everything Jesus told you to do in his word, you wanted to do it. Well, it's very hard to do that when you were a victim of something horrible and you put it away and away. When I read this passage here and then I read Ellen White's word, for a long time, that little girl and me kept dreaming and waking up and having nightmares. And I was a prisoner. Because you see, I could forgive anyone, anything. When I was a teenager, people, you know how teenagers can be, and peer pressure and all that. That was okay, and I would forgive and forget, and I was okay. And I became an adult, and I became a parent, and I thought I was okay. But I kept struggling. Why? Why was I the prisoner? Then I read this, and then I started thinking. It's like Jesus opened my eyes, and I just love how he works. When I was ready, he gave me the answer to my question. You see, it is not my job to find justice for a person. God will take care of that. It is my job to forgive. Not whether I feel like it or not. Because how many of you think forgiveness is a feeling, an emotion? I found the hard way that it's a decision. Because you see, God told me two things when I was reading his words. You look in the book of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. He said, "For I will forgive his wickedness and will remember their sins no more." There he didn't say, it doesn't matter what kind of sin you committed. If you committed a very hideous crime, those are not forgiven. You're okay. You won't go to heaven. He said, it doesn't matter. The wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And then on 1 John 1:9, he tells me, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That tells me that this man, this monster that did this harm to me, can find Jesus and repent and be in heaven. My question to me that had me make a decision whether I was going to forgive and be free was, what am I going to do if I see him in heaven? Last year, while I was talking to my husband, I was talking to him about these type of monsters that exist among us. I'm sorry, I can't use another word. I said, you know, God can't have those in heaven. There's just no way. But that's when God opened me and said, no, he can, if they repent and confess their sins. And then it was my decision to do one or the other. Either not go to heaven because I don't want to see him, or tell Jesus, I will forgive him. Just help me heal. So that if he does repent and he is in heaven, all I can do is give him a hug and say, welcome. Amen. Now, it's not easy. And I stand before you with this burden because I believe that many of us carry these prisoned chains around us, holding back pain and resentment for things that are done to us. When we were a child, if someone came and took our innocence away, or parents that physically or verbally abused us, or no matter what, a friend that betrayed us. Do you want to be a prisoner? Do you want to be free? You know, we just saw that little video about our soldiers that bled so that we can have freedom today. Well, somebody bled for you and me, for all of us, to pay for our freedom. I want to invite you to open your hearts to Jesus. As someone who did after 30 years, and like I'm telling you, for the first time being able to speak to it in public, for the first time being able to say, I can forgive this pain. And since that day, I have not had one nightmare, and I praise God for that. And it's because he does not hold me prisoner. Now, whether this man repents or not, that's not up to me. That's between him and God. So that's what I want to invite you to. That as we close this morning singing Amazing Grace, because that's what it is. It's God's amazing grace to us. If there's something in your heart that has been hurting you for many years, or just maybe recently, we don't know, misunderstanding, or something that was really hurtful, I want to invite you to please come up and give it to Christ so that the nightmares can finish, so that you can be free. Don't let sin hold you prisoner. Your price was paid. You have been forgiven from your sins. Let us also forgive those who sin against us so that we can be like Jesus and in heaven be together. Because at the end of the day, we know who's the cause of all those horrible things that happened today.